So as a coffee boy, you stayed there for how long?
I wasn't a coffee boy very long. I went to work there in January. By about 1st of June, the oil writing job, part-time oil job, opened up. And Mr. Steen, Sid Steen, who was my idol, to be honest about it.
And his position was?
He was the managing editor at that point. Lee Hard was the managing editor when I was hired. Sid was the city editor. A couple of months after I was hired, Lee went to work for Fourth National Bank, as I recall, and Sid became managing editor. So that by June, I had been working directly for Sid as city editor. He was my direct boss as copy boy. So when the oil writing part-time job opened up, he gave me that job.
What is that oil writing job?
It consisted of calling and getting the well reports, individual well reports from all of the companies, typing them up, sorting them according to county, township, range, and location of the well, and then putting together a daily report. Then after we got all the reports, we'd figure out what seemed to be the most significant and write what we called a lead for it. And that was a daily thing. On Sunday, we had more than twice as much. I mean, we'd sometimes have two leads and so on. So Sid gave me that job. By the way, I hired in at $27.50 a week.
So you wanted to be a baseball player?
Well, I was a high school baseball player. The little church where I went in Sand Springs had a guy that was a big booster of a little college in Indiana called Anderson College, up northeast of Indianapolis. He was on me, number one, to go into some kind of religious vocation. He was really upset with me that I went to work for that sinful Tulsa World. So he got me a baseball scholarship at Anderson. So I went up there for a semester. Well, I was there two semesters, but the spring semester of 1954, which was baseball season, of course, played baseball at Anderson. And then I went back that fall. But all that time, I was becoming very, very unhappy with my move and so on. So I came back here to re-enroll in the University of Tulsa for the spring semester of 1955.
But I want to know what position you played in baseball.
Well, a lot of them, mostly the outfield.
Big bat?
Well, let's put it like this. I was a real good kid baseball player. I peaked at 14. I was a big hitter at 14, but unfortunately, the rest of the guys caught up with me.
Let's bring you back to the Tulsa World. When do you come on as a full-time employee?
Well, I finished college in the University of Tulsa in 1957, spring of 57. Sid offered me the obit job. I'd turned that down. That was another part-time job, theoretically.
The obituaries?
Obituaries, mm-hmm. Yeah. Frankly, I was making more money in the oil department because I had started a little bit of a service for other cities, and I was getting paid something like $15 a month by about five or six cities, and in those days, that's pretty good money. So I calculated it, and what he offered me to do obits was quite a bit less than what I was making. I said, you know, I can't do that. Okay, he understood that, but then sometime in August or so, he said, look, if you're going to work at Tulsa World, you're going to have to come over on the city side as a general assignment reporter. And he paid me enough to make it worth my while. I sold my service to my successor. It's very interesting. When I left to go to Anderson, a fellow named Charlie Smith succeeded me. And then when I came back, I succeeded Charlie Smith. We didn't have an opening when I got back, so I went to work for the Sand Springs Leader for about 6 or 8 months until the world opened up. And then when Charlie left, I came back to do the same old job. I went on city side, let's call it, in fall of 1957. I succeeded Frieda Gold, who was the wife of John Gold, who we'll talk about a little later, I hope. Frieda was the church editor. So I got churches. What I called the do-gooder run, I covered Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Campfire Girls, Red Cross, what we called the Community Chest in those days, United Way. I still call it Community Chest, much to their chagrin. Just a variety of those kinds of things. YMCA. You know, I had a regular run. I'd go over and talk to the guys at the Y, go up and talk to women at the YWCA, which was more fun than the YMCA. So I was doing that, and then there's a guy that I have on my list here. He's dead and gone, so I don't think he can sue me, but it actually happened. I think truth will be a defense here. His name is Walt Finley. Walt was a reporter, an older guy. He was covering the Planning Commission and what we call real estate in those days, which was just a run. He went over to the Planning Commission meeting. We covered that like a blanket. Walt came in from the Planning Commission meeting, dumped his notes on his desk, went out to what we call lunch, which is about probably 7 o'clock somewhere along there, and never came back. We don't know what happened to Walt that night. So the desk then began to get really panicked, and so about midnight they were calling the Planning Commission director and everybody to try to get to some kind of a story about what happened at the Planning Commission, so it was kind of a bad deal. When Walt came in the next day, Sid fired him. And then another fellow who was my city editor at that time, a guy named Ray Billings, came back to my desk and said, I need you to help me out. I said, well, what's that? And he said, we'd like for you to take the Planning Commission and the real estate temporarily until we get somebody to do it. Well, I had them permanently. I got transferred to City Hall about 18 months later, and I still had the Planning Commission and all that stuff and all the do-gooders and so on.